be like water. And then we had a conversation in class about, like, well, what does that mean?
All right, first of all, if there's no, and you have the extra blue cheese. If you don't have extra blue cheese, don't even bring the plate over. I like the forearms more, you know, than the biceps. Mm. Put it right in, pull it right out. You get two bones. If you do it right, you do it right, like in New York, you only have two bones left.
Yep.
With Notorious B.I.G., again, top tier. The dude was unbelievable. His lyrics, his flow, and his influence, I think, on the rap game, the hip-hop game at that time was unparalleled.
Whether it was a hokey story or not, but during the 2016 Olympic Games, I remember the commentators came out and they said, you know, this may be quite an interesting thing this year. The javelin Olympic champion in 2016 in Rio was a man who, when he was, at least this is how I remember the story, he said, well, how did you learn how to javelin? And the guy says, YouTube.
Yeah, that's where I kind of stumbled onto it. I was trying to see how Mike Allstott trained, because this dude was a freak. And I figured if I could lift like him, I could do the stuff he does. So I kind of, that's where I started researching that and found out that he was using chains. And then that kind of led me, kind of stumbled on some articles from Dave Tate and Louie.
The mentality of it, they feel like the guy across from them is faster. So they got to get their hips turned so they can mirror them and play more basketball. It's like, no, stay strong. Use your strength and body, punch, sit down, and control the guy across from you. Because if he's faster than you, he's not stronger than you.
Oh, bone? Yeah, that's a little bit. That's a little bougie. That's a little bougie. Yeah.
Buffalo-style chicken tenders.
Yeah. That's no good. That's out. That's soft. That's soft.
If you can't enjoy going to work, you shouldn't go there. You know? If you can't enjoy the people that you're around, you know, that just isn't something you need to be a part of. It's toxic, in fact. So, you know, you just have to move on.
You know, we're kind of all a sum total of everything we've done. But when we bump into each other's lives, no, we don't really know what that is. But I love finding out about people's stories.
You are listening to the Iron Dread Podcast.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And we're here. Episode number 76 of the Iron Dread Podcast. I am your host, as always, Chris Whitaker, sitting here with the long-awaited guest on the podcast, our principal, Miss Melanie Nowak. Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
As I told you when I asked you last week about being on the show, I said we're about 2 years too late.
It's all good.
Yeah, we're about 2 years behind schedule. Melanie started with us 2 years ago, coming into your third year here at Dexter High School as the leader of our high school and our principal. Very supportive of our strength and conditioning program and all the things we got going here, but wanted to have her on and just, you know, get to know her a little bit better. I mean, obviously we talk a lot, like in and out in your office, not just when I need things. Sometimes I just drop in and read you a joke or, you know, but right now we're working on trying to get your son to listen to more gangster rap, right?
Well, yes and no. So a couple years ago, I had to stop playing so much of my music in front of my kids because they would sing it in public. And I actually got scolded by my mother for that. So when our kids are walking down the street singing Bone Thugs and Harmony, we have an issue. So it's about place and time.
Yeah. We haven't gotten to that point yet. We can still listen to that in our house. Our daughter's just now starting to repeat things.
Gotcha.
A little bit, but it's mush mouth though repeating. It's not full words yet.
Yeah, well, that was the issue at our house.
Yeah, you're full words now, so you got to be careful what we throw out there. But again, we like to have fun. I think Melanie's a good time. I enjoy having her here with us at the school. Like I said, very supportive of our strength and conditioning program and always dropping in, even taking on some of our strength challenges from time to time that we have in the weight room.
I would like to take on some more this year.
We're going
to
do more. I think we're working on like one a month.
Okay.
So finding like a key pivotal event that happens within that month, whether it's a holiday or something like that, and then building a strength challenge around that. right now I'm trying to work on, you know, you would think November normally would be like Thanksgiving, you know, a Thanksgiving theme. But I think I'm going November 10th, 1975, the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald, and we're going to do some sort of boat rope thing, arm over arm pull or something like that.
Well, you got to get Mr. Teddy in on that then.
Yeah, we gotta get him over there. He's an avid kayaker or canoer, not kayaker, a canoer competing in the Asalbo Marathon not too long ago. Mm-hmm. So, Ms. Nowak, kind of what's your story? How did you get here to being the principal of Dexter High School?
Where do you want me to start? Birth, educational career?
I mean, you could go back as far back as you want. I've had people on this show start at, you know, the day they entered the world and go from there. I mean, how about this? Let me channel it down. Where were you born and where did you grow up?
Born and raised in Toledo, Ohio, Polish Village, down by LaGrange Street, by St. Adelbert's Chapel, which is not really a cathedral, which is not really, it's there, but it's not there. Mm. Yeah.
Toledo, Tony Pacos.
Tony Pacos, yeah.
Haven't been there yet.
Oh, really? It's pretty good. It's not Polish, but it's Hungarian, and it's good. You gotta get some good Polish food, though. So we had a whole block of our family. We all lived in a row. Uncle Bosco, Aunt Marion, my grandparents. We had a lot of generational houses on our block. But that was a good way to grow up.
And you all grew up together, had a big family group, mm-hmm. which, you know, hey, they say it takes a village to raise, you know, good kids, right? And that's like we're our own little village here in the high school trying to help these kids. Mm-hmm. So you had a lot of influence there. But where did you wind up going to school? Is it Toledo Public Schools? What high school did you graduate from?
So I actually started at St. Adelbert's. It was a Catholic school. We went there for a few years. And then my parents actually moved us into Michigan. Our neighborhood was getting really rough. It was not safe. There is a lot of drugs, a lot of violence. They moved us out of our neighborhood, and I ended up graduating from Ida High School, which is right across the border, right over by Bedford, in Monroe County.
Okay, so came up into Michigan. Now, were you one of those Ohio people that grew up? I'll ask you more about that later. I was gonna say, were you one of those Ohio people that grew up a Wolverines fan?
Yes. Yes. Our whole family, Wolverines fan. Yeah. Go blue.
I mean, what was the thing where I'm from New York, so I didn't learn this stuff in high school.
Something the battle where, for Toledo?
Yeah, Michigan got the UP and then Ohio got Toledo.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's that whole story with that?
I'm not a history buff. I just know that there was a battle for that, and yeah, that's not a battle, but you know, that was the deal. I don't know who won. I don't know who lost.
I don't know.
Ohio might, because if you've ever been in the Mudhead Stadium, their concessions are the best.
Heard that talk.
Yeah. So Toledo Mudhens have better concessions than Detroit Tigers.
Really?
Go figure. So, but UP is pretty cool too. It depends on what you're going for.
There's Sasquatch in the UP, which is where I would go. But there's Tony Pacos in Toledo.
You could go there, too.
I've been to both. So, started in Ohio, came up here to the great state of Michigan, Ida High School. Now, from there, that took you into your collegiate career. And where'd you go to school? What you major in? How'd you get here?
So I'm a saint. Really am. Graduated from Siena Heights University in Adrian. Loved my time there. Went to play basketball. Didn't end up following through. Didn't follow through my freshman year with that, but then ended up becoming an RA there and getting involved in a lot of other leadership opportunities there. And then did my master's through Concordia.
Okay, Siena Heights. A lot of big connections between Dexter High School and Siena Heights.
Mm-hmm. Lots, yeah.
Coach Jacobs coached football there for a while. You were there. Uh-huh. Is Mrs. Timmis? Isn't she an administrator there? Or is
she
Adrian College?
She was at Siena, but now she's at Schoolcraft.
Okay.
Yeah,
a lot of connections too. Yeah. I mean, just from my vantage point to Siena Heights and the Adrian area to up here.
It's a great school, great area. I do not regret going there. Actually, I ended up in Siena Heights because of spite. So my parents were really pushing me to go to, my mom was pushing me to go to different places, almost went to University of Wisconsin. Had a lot of pushes, but being a rebellious teenager, I wanted to do anything but what she wanted me to do. So I refused all the other offers that I had and chose Siena Heights because no one else from my school was going there. Mm-hmm. So I did it because no one else was doing it.
Well, sometimes you gotta be different.
Yep. Yeah. So that's what I did. And I don't regret it. It was a great experience.
So as an athlete, I mean, Were you a very sought after basketball player? I mean, you're at above average height. I mean, what, 6'3"? You're taller than I am. How tall are you?
It depends on the day.
She's taller than me, folks. And, you know, anybody that's taller than me is above average height, I would say. So you got to think that somebody at your height would be a much sought after basketball player. So, like, Wisconsin wanted you to play basketball or?
So I wasn't being recruited, like, strongly recruited there. No, but we talked to the coach. We were talking about walk-on, but not they weren't like actively recruiting me.
I mean, they're not going to turn down a 6'3 post player, right? I would assume you played in the low post.
Low post. Yep. So there was another girl on my high school basketball team. She was maybe only an inch shorter than me, and they used to call us the Twin Towers before 9/11 happened. And so we would just throw the ball back and forth to each other and score down low. Yeah. No one could stop 2 6'3" girls on the floor.
Not going to happen.
Yeah.
We got a young lady coming up in the program. Got the chance to work with her this summer. Harper is her name. And she's just as tall.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice.
Her dad was a lineman for the Detroit Lions.
Oh, awesome.
So she's got that athletic lineage here. So... yeah, so you were an athlete, decided the college route to turn away from that, go into more administration, start mm-hmm. leading people as an RA,
yep.
Got your master's degree, and then, you know, obviously that master's degree and your undergrad turned you into a teaching certification, and you started teaching. What did you teach when you were in the classroom?
Yeah, so I actually got my master's degree while I was teaching, so before I got my... bachelor's degree, I already had an offer, a teaching offer. So I went from my student teaching, and a month before I got done with my student teaching, I took over full-time in a classroom where someone had to go on leave. So I taught high school math, pre-calc, and Algebra 2, and advanced senior English. So at that high school, they didn't have AP, they didn't have IB, so we had advanced classes. So I taught those were the classes I taught. Loved my math nerd phase. I still love to nerd out on some data. So yesterday at the staff meeting when I was talking, about PLCs and charts and color coding, that's my jam. I do enjoy that, but I understand that that's not everyone else's jam. So try to resist.
I mean, the guy on the other side of this table never took any of those classes you're talking about. I tell people the only advanced classes I was ever accepted for, lunch and phys ed, I excelled in both. Well, mostly lunch.
We all have our strengths.
Yeah.
And that's all right.
Yeah, that's where I excelled. So you taught math at Ida High School.
At Ida High School.
And then you became an administrator there. How many years did you teach before becoming an administrator?
Yeah, so I taught math and English for 10 years, and then I went to Tecumseh. I was actually an elementary principal there. And then while I was on maternity leave with my youngest son, they called me and said, hey, we really want you to open a STEAM center. So, when I came back from maternity leave, opened a middle school STEAM center over at Tecumseh, was there for a few years. And then went to Farmington, curriculum coordinator there, in the areas of innovation and STEAM and, actually CTE classes. So I'm really passionate about, pathway into careers, not necessarily the college route. And then now I'm here.
So for those people that might not know, when you say STEAM, what's that acronym for those that might not know what that means?
Yeah, so science, technology, engineering. We were a STEAM center instead of a STEM center because we added arts in there. So that's the A, and then mathematics and science. So we were really doing integrated units. Application, we had kids on campus who created an outdoor classroom. They actually built, not just had our B&G staff there build, but our kids were out there constructing, building a pergola, and they also put electric units in, so electricity in there so they could plug in their laptops, and they had this whole thing, and these were 7th and 8th graders. So I know that our building trades kids, they're building sheds and doing great things, and that's awesome. These were 7th and 8th graders who are coming up with the diagrams, the math behind it, the angles and the corners of all the boards and everything else. So they did an excellent job. So it was a really cool way for kids to take all of their learning and apply it.
So everything from start to finish. The design process, making sure everything is going to be functional and, you know, actually stay standing. Mm-hmm. And then out from the whole thing, A to B. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Now, obviously, we had to go through that design process and talk a lot about failing and failing forward, because especially when you're I'm not buying you several thousand dollars worth of product and materials if you haven't even tried. So they had to do prototypes, and they had to go through different testing. So they had to, you know, make diagrams and mini pergolas and make sure that they could withstand the strength. And then they had to show me diagrams of their electric routes and everything else. And they had to talk to electricians and make sure that they were doing it correctly. And it was pretty cool to see it all come to fruition at the end. Like, yeah, this was your product. This is where you started. It started with an idea in 7th grade. And by the end of the year, your 8th grade year, you were able to create this. It was really cool.
And then it stands there after they graduate and move on to high school. They come back and I helped build that.
Yep.
And I think that's something that's lost. And you talked about the CTE, right? The for those that aren't from this area, right, what she's referring to there is like our consortium classes that lead into, you know, the things of, you know, auto shop, health sciences,
welding,
all these things. Some of these, you know, trades that we have a big need for here, and all too often, in my experience, it's always 4-year university or bust.
Mm-hmm.
Like, listen, I tell kids all the time when they bring that up, like, there's something to be said about going to one of those classes, becoming a welder, and walking out of high school with being employable.
Mm-hmm.
And having exactly zero student loan debt.
Making more money than any of your other friends who are graduating from 4-year college. Yeah,
I know kids right now that have come through our programs, and I got a master's degree, advanced certifications. Think I'm pretty good at what I do. They make more money than me, mm-hmm. and they're not even 20 years old yet.
Yep.
21 years old.
There's a need if you've got the talent, and it's there.
Something to be said about it.
Absolutely.
I heard, I listened to a bunch of different podcasts, and that's kind of how we got started with our own. Andy Frisella, one guy I really like to listen to, he was talking about on his show, actually, in Muskegon, I think it was Muskegon, Mona Shores. They adapted a thing with their football program where they're going to put like blue collar workers as their, you know, their heroes. And they would show up when they wear work shirts, and it had a name of a person that influenced them that would be considered a blue collar worker, an electrician, a welder, a plumber, soldier, like any of these different things. And that kind of developing that culture of, hey, it's okay if this is where your passion is and this is where you want to go, it's okay to go and do those jobs and make that money.
Just okay, but awesome.
Yeah.
Like, everyone, think about the house you live in. You have electricity? Someone's got to put that in.
I had to call a guy yesterday to work on my heater because I don't know how to do my furnace because I don't know how to work on it.
Yeah. So the jobs are needed. The job, they require a lot of talent, and you don't need to go to a 4-year college to do it. So
a 4-year college is just the pathway that you need to take to get to certain ends. But if your end destination isn't that, I don't have to go through that.
Yeah, it's not everything.
Don't get caught in debt either. And that's the big thing. Like, I look at somebody like myself sitting about 60K, right, in student loan debt. My sister went to a private school, got a biology degree, wound up becoming a manager in one of our local grocery store chains and moving up. Like, she's not going to go anywhere. She keeps getting promoted. Got over $100,000 student loan debt she got to pay back for a degree that she's not even using.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of different paths to a lot of great careers.
Yeah. Yep. They're out there. They're out there. So, that, and I think that's really cool. And that's one of the things that you mentioned that in one of our early conversations when you first got here. And I value that because I classify myself, you know, yeah, I went through all the different things, but I classify myself as a guy that's going to hit the ground running, work with his, you know, work with his hands where he can, build, you know, try to fix things and do things. And I wasn't the prototypical teacher. I wasn't the 4.0 student. You know, I was a C plus man in a plus world at times. Most of that my own doing.
Right. Yeah, and everyone has their own path. It's all right.
Most of that was my own doing. But I valued that in a high school principal that reaches everyone. Yeah, we love our kids that are high academic performers, and we support them, and they're going to go to Michigan and all these different places and do those things. That's what they want to do. But we also, in the same light, we love those kids that are going to go and work in the trades and help keep the infrastructure of our country going, working with their hands.
Absolutely. So just this summer, I was looking for someone to come finish my basement and do some electrical work. You know who I was asking for? I'm like, who are our Dexter grads that went through building trades? I want this kid. Those are trusted people I know. I know they're going to do a good job. I know that they went through a great program over at Celine. I know that they had a good instructor, and I know that they were taught well. I want those people in my house fixing my stuff.
Yeah.
Because they know what they're doing.
Yeah. It's great. It's great. And I'm, like I said, I'm glad you do that. So after Tecumseh, when the legendary Kip Moran retires, right, you get hired here, you're coming in. What's it like coming in for a guy with that much experience? Right? And very much, you know, a lot of people were upset when he had to leave us, right? He chose to retire, and that's, you know, we're happy for him. But what's it like coming in? Like, you're coming in and taking the helm, right, to use one of our terms, of a ship that was led by a great former leader, and now you're trying to pick up and build upon that. What's that like?
Well, first of all, I just want to elevate that Kit's a wonderful man. He was a great leader. I appreciate him. I still call him sometimes and ask, you know, different things that he did or how'd you navigate this situation. He was great. And I understand why there was such a connection with him and Dexter and why people loved him. He was great. He was great. And one of the most frank conversations I had with Kit, I'm like, I appreciate you and I appreciate everything you did, but I'm not you. And, you know, even just from fiscal, so Kit's here, I'm here. Yeah.
Very like, different.
Very, very different people. And we have some very different our philosophies are mostly the same, but we go about it in very different ways. So I'm like, I can't be you. I don't want to be you. I have to be authentic. Authentically me, but yeah. That doesn't mean that I want to change Dexter or change everything he did. I want to honor that as well because it's great stuff. We have a lot of great things going on in Dexter. So, you know, especially at first, there was a lot of, well, Kit would have done it that way. Kit would have done this way. Oh, 5 years ago, Kit did. That's great. That is great. And I honor that. And I appreciate that. And I, you know, and I don't mind when people say that to me. And I don't mind, you know, when people, you know, try to steer me that way. Well, Kit would. That's great. So, has it been working? How does it work for us now? Did that work 10 years ago when you were doing that way then?
Yeah.
Does that still fit what we need now? Because after COVID, so many things changed. Even with the same leader in the same building, some of the things that they did themselves 5 years ago would not be working now because things have changed so much. So also trying to keep that in mind and keep that perspective that it's okay to be different. It's okay to change up processes. It's okay to change up people. It's okay to change up all those different things. So change is inevitable. We just have to make sure that we're flowing with it.
Yeah, I mean, change is needed to move forward. Mm-hmm. And I'm notoriously, you know, somebody says I fear change, but that's mostly with like my restaurant order. No, but change is inevitable. Like, you're going to need to do that. You're going to need to be you. Like, yep. If somebody took me and put me in a different school as a strength and conditioning coach, I'm going to do what I'm most comfortable with and what I think is best for our program. And that's what you have to do in this situation as well. And, and when I asked that question about what's it like taking the helm from somebody like him, that's exactly what I expected to hear. Like, everybody is going to keep saying, oh, Kit did this, Kit did that, Kit did. And again, he's great. You respect him, but you got to be you. Mm-hmm. And I think that has been something that the school has felt, right? They've felt the changes that you've made, and many of them, I mean, from my vantage point, have been positive. I haven't seen any negative yet. We'll talk more about some other things. Other than that, okay. So we're here. We've been here 2 years. We already talked about kind of your athletic history. You said you played basketball. Did you play anything else?
Softball. Basketball and softball were my two main sports. I was a cheerleader for one season. So back in the day, basketball season and volleyball season were switched in Michigan for girls. And so it used to be if you wanted to go on to play, you played AAU ball on that opposite season. So I would play basketball all year round, or maybe sometimes have two seasons. So my senior year, since I didn't have an AAU basketball season because it was the opposite season, I was a cheerleader for the boys' season. But I knew nothing about cheerleading. Still don't. I like watching them. They do great things. They're great athletes. But I will admit that I didn't know what I was doing. Had no idea what I was doing. But I did get into all of the games for free. So that was the perk.
And it is a perk.
Yeah. So
get in for free. Yeah. Our cheerleaders are great here. They're actively involved in our strength program.
Yeah. Great athletes.
They're up there. They're up there working and getting after it, practicing late at night, coming in to train in the morning. Like, they're not afraid to work. And I think a lot of times the cheerleaders kind of get labeled as a non-sport thing.
But it definitely is, and that's why I wanted to put it out there. Like, I didn't know what I was doing.
Yeah.
Those stunts are way more difficult than what it looks like. So obviously being my size, they're not going to throw me up in the air. So yeah. I was always a base. That's hard. That is really difficult. You've got to be so precise in your movements. You've got to be strong. You've got to have good communication. You got to practice. Like, that stuff was hard. And that's why I said it like that. Like, so I don't want someone coming to me for cheerleading advice. I will give you no advice because it's not going to be good advice because I was awful. I just had pure size on my side so that if someone fell, I could just catch them and it wouldn't be a big deal. But I had no idea what I was doing.
Yeah. They when I see them, they're probably some days they're more beat up than football guys.
You get kicked, you get scratched, your hair gets pulled. Because if someone's falling, there.
Some girl come in with a black eye.
Yep.
Be like, I told you not to punch people, and then they start laughing and tell me the story about how, girl A was coming down and they went to catch her and she didn't keep her elbows tucked, so when she came down, her elbow popped her in the eye. And
yeah,
it's
there's a lot of discipline in that.
And they work it over and over and over and over again.
Yep.
All right. Now, we've kind of like, because I'm all over the place, many times this show goes all over the place. We'll do our speed questions, set questions here. And these are always meant to kind of be like quick, but they never happen that way. We're going to spin off on some topic. Mm-hmm. I know for a fact there's one on this list that we have debated quite often.
Yeah, I saw that one. Right. I'm ready to concede today. It's all right.
Yeah, quite often. And I can't wait to get that on video and audio documented.
Uh-huh.
We do have it in writing, but we'll talk about that when we get there.
Yeah.
So we mentioned at the top, if you're a go blue or a go green person, and you said
go blue.
Go blue.
Go blue all the way.
All right, two of our dreadnoughts are going to be at Michigan this fall, mm-hmm. Cole Cabana and Micah Davis.
Mm-hmm.
We wish them luck there. My wife and I are season ticket holders at Michigan, so we'll be there watching, and hopefully those guys you know, earn their way onto the field. Be a very proud moment to see those guys out there.
Yeah, best of luck to them.
Then we got, you know, we're not really go green people here, but we do have Brennan Parachek up there at State. And, you know, knock on wood, looking like, you know, he's going to get some significant time.
Yeah, amazing athlete. This year. And great young man.
Yeah.
Wonderful young man. Couldn't have a better model for our kids.
Yeah, he's
a great young man.
Always willing to talk to all the kids. And in many ways, him and Cole both saw a lot of that last year. And I think their success on the football field is really going to be something that starts to build our football tradition, mm-hmm. where kids are growing up to want to be Dreadnought football players.
Yep.
And when we got here, that was not the case.
So even in my son's room right now, there are posters of Micah Davis, Cole Cabana, and Brennan Parachek with my son. Mm-hmm. Because, again, all three boys, amazing young men, and nice to my son was a second grader last year. And, you know, that was – those guys were their idol.
Larger than life.
Yep. Yeah. So he's got them in his room now, and he's like, that's what I want to be. That's what I – you know, and Micah Davis volunteered on my son's flag football team last year and helped coach. And Ryan just thought that was the coolest thing in the world. Like, did you see Micah Davis? Did you see who's over – yeah, buddy.
Yeah. It's a great thing, and again, something that when we got here was not here for football, mm-hmm. right? And those guys did a lot of work to earn that and help leave the program better than when it was when they got in. Next one, favorite movie.
I don't really have one. I watch.
She doesn't have a favorite movie, folks.
I know. That sounds lame. In all honesty, I don't think I've probably turned on a TV in, I don't know, 2 years. I don't have a TV at my house right now. We're just not TV people. But if I had to watch something, it'd probably be like an old Adam Sandler movie or, you know, something classic. You name a movie from the 80s, 90s, early 2000s, I could quote probably every line. Like, we watched Ghostbusters and Ghostbusters 2 religiously, and so I could quote every line of those movies. But okay, how about this? Ghostbusters.
There you go.
Ghostbusters 1.
Ghostbusters, the original. The Dan original. Aykroyd Ghostbusters.
This right? chick is toast. Yeah. Yeah. That's a good one.
They were good. And then when they remade it, when they did that spinoff with
Melissa McCarthy
and the other Saturday Night Live girl. Was it McKinnon? Kate McKinnon?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, though, like, that was okay. They paid homage to the original.
I did see that one.
Because there's nothing original in TV and movies nowadays. They're all those. Yeah. You know, hey, we learned yesterday that the original Fast and the Furious movie, what we thought was the original Fast and the Furious movie, was in fact not.
Well?
That it was a spinoff.
Did you watch the old one?
Not yet. Oh. I only learned about it yesterday. I'm like you. If I go home and turn a TV on, mostly it's just something for background noise while I'm talking with my wife and daughter, and then if I, you know, am still awake, you know, enough to, you know, after the baby goes to bed, okay, now I'm going to train or mow the grass or mm-hmm. work on my pool or something like that. So I don't. Especially this time of year, when don't get to check too much of that out.
No time.
So you're not a TV person, you said, nope. But do you have like an old school TV show that was your all time favorite?
We watched Simpsons a lot as a kid. We would actually sit down as a family, and I know that might sound weird because it's really not appropriate for little kids, but we sat down as a family and watched Simpsons all the time. And a lot of things that were projected on Simpsons have come to fruition in real life.
Are you a believer in the Simpsons' ability to predict the future?
Matt Groening is, like, a genius.
He's a time traveler.
Yeah. He's more than just a writer. Something's going on.
I mean, we could go down a conspiracy theory rabbit hole right now. Right? Maybe he's part of the Illuminati. Some alien race, some reptilian people that live under the ground and can travel through time?
He could be. That's why in PD the other day, I went to the sign with Bart Simpson that said, Farticus is not a Greek god.
I was going to go to that one, but mostly because, you know, Bart Simpson always gets himself in trouble. for doing things, and I feel like I walked that line pretty close, you know. But yeah, it's, the Simpsons have way more. There's way worse inappropriate things on normal TV.
I agree.
Than the Simpsons.
A lot of cultural relevancy.
Yeah. Yeah, you can learn. You can learn things about life for, you know, pop culture and the Simpsons because they've been around so long. But mm-hmm. he's definitely a time traveler.
I agree.
He definitely knows. Like, did you ever see the one that predicted the coronavirus?
They've predicted a whole lot of things that happened in the last couple of years. Like, how did you know that? Certain people, I'm not going to, you know, name, but.
Coronavirus, presidential candidates.
That's where I was going.
You name it.
Different recessions.
Yeah.
Yeah. They knew. They knew.
Time travel.
He knows things.
Bet you he knows if Sasquatch is real or not, too. But there hasn't been a Simpsons episode about Sasquatch.
Do you think if we write him, he'll make one?
Maybe. I'm sure he's going to listen to this. This podcast is listened to 7 different countries. I hope you know that.
All well, of course it is.
7 different countries all around the world. Obviously, we tend to favor the United States of America, but there are people listening all over the world. Shout out Sarah Katz, former guest of the show, down in the land of Oz, Australia. Oh. All right. So you're a busy lady. Right? There's one of the things we, you know, we always talked about, you know, which one of us is here for more hours, you or me? And I conceded that and said you.
I don't know. You're here a lot.
Usually, I know if I'm running late in the morning is if I pull in the parking lot and your vehicle's beating me here. And that's what I know. Oh, she got me today. She beat me. But do you have any hobbies? Like, you got to be able to, at some point, might be able to turn off work for a bit and kind of let yourself relax. Any hobbies that you have that kind of do that for you?
Our house is very athletics-centric. So, any free time, we're out playing baseball, out playing basketball, kickball, whatever it may be, riding bikes or just taking a walk. I have 2 little boys, so their world is sports. Everything is sports. So any free moment we have, we're probably playing something in the yard.
Yeah. So getting out there and playing with the kids, which is important. Sometimes, mm-hmm. you know, as busy professionals, like, we got to make that time to spend time with the kids.
Yeah.
You know, it's something that you see a lot when people are super busy and doing big things in the world. And that's something that's been a struggle for me, right? Okay, like I'm trying to go 100 miles an hour here and have all that. But at the same time, now I have that responsibility at home too. Like, it's
balance is hard.
I respect you for having 2 that now you have to give time to both of them while at the same time trying to lead a high school full of people. So that's, my hat's off to you with that. Like, I'm in my small corner of the building, and what I do, it's a struggle. I can only imagine when you're trying to lead the whole damn thing.
Well, I'm very, very fortunate to have an amazing village. And when I say that, I'm talking about the Dexter Village. Like, even last night, taking my son to 3rd grade open house and in introducing him to people that I know through my professional work and saying, hey, if you need a hug, you can go to Mrs. Anderson. Hey, if you need a hug, go to Mrs. C. Like, those kind of things. So it does take a village. That balance is difficult, but it can be done. But through those, through that professional experience, you get that, you build that village. Just like, you know, I love talking to Katie on the sideline and seeing your little one run around. You know, we all have people that will, hey, can you watch my little one? Yeah, absolutely. Let's, you know, grow. This becomes a greater family.
Yeah, and that's what we have to do, right? The team, we all move each other forward towards common goals.
Yep.
You know, and lean in and help each other and whatnot. I remember the first time I met your kids, graduation. Took them up to the box and let them blow the air horn in the stadium.
Yeah.
First time.
They thought that was the coolest thing in the world. That, you know, they thought that was the coolest thing in the world. So they still talk about those moments. And I remember when we did this. Now I remember when we, yep. And now they think they own the place. So I got to put them back in their place. So
Yeah. You know, have them stop over and see me in the weight room. I'll keep them busy for a little bit. All right. Now, number five. Oh.
You were right.
Glory, right, has come to me many. What was it? We were interviewing for the health and wellness when Eric Williams was hired for the health and wellness. We were interviewing for that.
Yeah.
And that's where this started.
Yeah.
Where we started talking about chicken wings. Right. And would you tell the people what your initial thought of chicken wings was?
Does it matter, or can I just say you're right? You were right, you were right, you were right.
I really would love you know, to have recorded you stating what you thought chicken wings were, and then now how your mind has been opened to the reality.
Okay, to be fair, raised full Polish. Like, we didn't eat chicken wings. That wasn't something that I ever had until, like, college. And at college, of course, it was just, like, the cheap, like, you go to Buffalo Wild Wings with a bunch of friends. That's not really good stuff either. But now, as I texted you this summer, I went to a real wings place and experienced the real thing. And yes, on the bone, wings are much better. They have to be done correctly.
They're, what you said, on the bone. No, wings have bones.
Well, because my first time we've talked about this, I said no bone because I didn't want to get my fingers messy. And I wanted to use a fork and I wanted to be able to cut it and then dip it.
Hmm.
It's totally different. So that's why I had a
chicken nuggets.
Yes.
I mean, nothing wrong with chicken nuggets, but they're not wings. Now, let's see. I'm right now. I have pulled up in front of me the story of the way they founded chicken wings in the great state of New York, Buffalo, New York. It was a young man by the name of Dominic Bellissimo. That's got to be a Paisan. It's got to be an Italian. Right, where's Tony Quinn? Right.
Even know.
So he asked his mother, Teresa, to prepare something for the friends to eat. All right. All they had was like the chicken parts, right, the you know, parts of the wing, because they would cut them off and just discard them back then. And she deep fried the wings and then flavored them with a secret sauce, now known as buffalo sauce. So I think we can credit the Italians with discovering chicken wings right there in Buffalo, New York.
I'd also like to mention I did concede long ago, and I even sent you the article.
She did.
I'll admit when I'm wrong. I was wrong.
She did do that. And then also put it out on her weekly staff briefs to the entire staff, which I found quite humorous. So now that you've been enlightened into the world of wings, Ms. Nowak, what are you gonna order when you order the real deal? Like, I forget what you sent me in that picture that day over the summer.
It depends on where I'm at.
You're going to Anchor Bar, the OG, the real deal, Buffalo style chicken wings, and there actually used to be a chain of that in Farmington.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Did not know.
I think it closed. Thanks, COVID.
I enjoy the dry rub. I think that's the best. That's good stuff.
Buffalo dry rub, a little bit of heat.
I do like a little bit of heat. I do. And then we had at the restaurant that I sent you that picture from, we had like a side of jalapenos on the side. And so we would just kind of like oscillate between wing, jalapeno.
Yeah.
Those were good. Those were really good.
Can't go wrong.
No.
Can't go wrong.
That was delicious.
Now, are you dipping your dry rub wings into any dipping sauce alongside?
No, these wings were so good. They were so perfectly made that you didn't need a sauce. Mm-hmm. They were perfect. That's what I mean. It depends on where I'm going. These wings were so perfect, I didn't need any extra thing. Just with the dry rub and then a little jalapeno afterward.
Were they deep fried or smoked?
They're smoked. Smoked dry rub.
Clutch.
Yeah.
Very clutch move to smoke the wings.
Oh, they were so good. What would you order?
Me? I like dry rub as well. But sometimes I'll expand my flavor palette, right? But it's always got to have blue cheese next to it. Always. As my friend Tim Sommerlad, he says it in the intro, right? He's from Brooklyn, right? And I've talked about him many times. He's from Brooklyn, FDNY fireman, retired. And he's got that real thick New York accent, you know? And he says, you know, hey, if you get the chicken wings, you know, you don't have blue cheese on a plate, don't even bring the plate over. You know? And
it's fair. It's fair.
But yeah, I would order anything. I may have told you about this before. Ice Arena in that town right down the road from here. You know, old Chelsea. The Ice Arena, which I found out Kenny Grundy, our hockey coach, is actually the manager of.
Oh, really?
There's a restaurant in between the two sheets of ice. It's called Arctic Breakaway. Dry rub wings.
Good stuff.
Deep fried, though. Not smoked.
All right, fried. I'll try it. I'm okay. Willing to try.
Not bad. Smoked wings, Jackson. It's a place called Rocky Top something.
Been there.
Get the smoked wings there?
I did not. I got a brisket sandwich.
Yeah, you missed out. They bring it to you on a tray. They got some very exotic flavors as well.
All right.
Peanut butter and jelly was quite good.
Ooh, I don't know if I can.
Hey, I'm telling you. I'll make it. I have my judgment. Peanut butter and jelly wings are exquisite.
All right, I'll try them. I'm willing to try it.
All right, we'll keep it moving because I said I would only keep you till 11:15 today as we record this, so I don't want to keep you much past that. Joe, are you a lot of these kind of get into sports, and we kind of talked about the different sports you played, anything like that. Obviously, being a strength and conditioning you know, based podcast, obviously we talk about a bunch of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And what wound up happening with the podcast was I was just talking about strength stuff all the time. But then I said, well, I'm more than just strength stuff. Everybody's got a story to tell. Let's talk about everything. But do you have any sort of training that you enjoy? You know, classes, weights, anything you like to do to kind of be active? I mean, you said you play with your kids all the time.
Yep. So I was way too hard on my knees and my ankles. I've broken my left ankle twice. I have a torn meniscus. I was way too hard from all the years of athletics. So actually, before moving to Dexter, I would ride a stationary bike for an hour, go for 6-mile walk. That was my everyday routine. And then I would lift. But I would lift small weights for high repetition because I didn't want to get... I'm not going for huge. I was going for strength. So
I could tell you why we want to do things differently, but let me write a few.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Keep going.
I know you'll school me in this, but yeah. So that was my routine. But when I moved to Dexter, in all transparency, my time allotted for training went down to this. And so since I've been to Dexter, I've gained 40 pounds. So that's a different story.
Happens.
Yeah.
Happens. I remember one day I got you dragging a sled out there around the track.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I enjoy it. I enjoy lifting. I enjoy cardio. I enjoy all that. I wish I had more time for that. To me, that's relaxing. I'm not like Miss Holland, though. I will not go for like a 20-mile run and say, oh, this was pleasurable. I enjoyed this. I don't understand that life. She does, and that's great for her. I think she might be an alien.
Mm.
But... I can't do that, but I do enjoy, like, if I'm going to run, I should be running for a purpose. So I'm either doing a course, there's a goal at the end. I'm very competitive, so I want to beat my last time. I want to do something. I'll pull a sled. I'll do something else, but I can't. I don't like running for enjoyment. That's not enjoyable to me. I'm too big for that.
Hey, amen, sister. All right, we you know, there's, I always say that, and I love our cross country runners. All right, but I always say every cross country runner you ever meet, just a little bit crazy. Right? Just a little bit crazy. Yeah, that's at you, Charles Munson. Right, who I haven't seen. I know his parents. I can say his first and last name. One of our cross country captains, Charles Munson. They're just a little bit crazy. Yeah.
Unique.
Yeah. It's but I mean, I hear you. Even being in the weight room for, it's like there's a, it's almost torturous, right? because you're in there and you're in that environment all day, right? And if I don't train early in the morning or get home and be able to press the reset button somehow to train, it's rough.
Yeah.
It's rough. I hear you. I hear you on that. But it's one of those things like, you know, for me, right, more so than you, if I'm going to ask the kids to do it, I gotta walk that walk too.
Yeah.
It's a tough thing for sure. But you know, if I can be any of help to you, you know, let me know. We'll get you going.
Oh, I appreciate that. When I first moved here, I was trading off sleep time for training, and that wasn't going well either. So.
I hear you there as well.
You know.
I hear you there as well. But for me, I think like it's got to be one of my top three priorities in the day, just because if I'm going to ask the kids to do it, I can do it.
Yep.
You know, it's no different if you're a reading teacher and you don't read books. Like, how are you going to ask your kids to do it?
You know? Exactly. You got to model like that word discipline, disciple. It's guiding, learning, teaching, modeling.
I did appreciate that, actually, because... You know, and what she's referring to is in the professional development we had this week, and you talked about discipline, right? And being able to be that, you know, channeling ourselves so we can show our students what it should be, what it should look like. We have to be able to do that.
Absolutely. We're all humans, which is why when I make a mistake, I want to be able to admit that I made a mistake. And I will say, Chris Whitaker, you are right about most things.
There you go. Especially wings. Yes. Most of the time, though, because if I know, I'm not going to get into the debate if I don't have a good chance of winning. I'm like you. I like to win. Right? If I know, if I don't know anything about it, I'll just slowly back out and get in there. But yeah, training is an interesting situation. We'll try to help you. We'll talk more off the air. I got some ideas for you.
All right, I'm up for it.
All right, so we kind of talked about sports you played. When you get the chance to watch sports, whether it be collegiate, professional, high school, what do you like to watch?
Pretty much everything, except I'll say I can't watch golf. I can't do it. I just can't. Whether it be football, baseball, softball, I like watching volleyball sometimes, like anything. Anything but golf. Sorry, golfers.
Golf, yeah. Golf, I think, is one of those things that's best played.
Yeah. I can't get into it as a spectator.
No. No. No, it's kind of... If I turned golf on and tried to watch golf, the lights are going out. That's...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Football's huge at my house. There's a lot of trash talk about football teams. My fiancé is a OSU fan. I can't say that too loud. God. I know. So there's a lot of trash talk at my house between...
You're marrying an Ohio State fan. This is rough.
I know. It's very rough. I know.
You know, you got to take the good with the bad, I guess.
There's redeeming qualities, so... Yeah. I know. That's why I said I can't even say it out loud. But yeah, so there's a lot of trash talk in my house. But he did say that he will root for U of M this year whenever Micah gets in. Because he also volunteered on the... To so coach for to the
work with him.
Yeah, so he got to work with Mike, and she said that is one of the best young men I have ever met in my life. So I will happily root for U of M when he's in the game. He goes, but when he's not on the field, I'm not doing it. So,
and Michigan's been on the winning side of that lately. So
yeah,
it's a little bit more fun for us. You know, a few years ago they were all running their mouths.
Mm-hmm.
I got a bunch of Buckeye fans. You know, my buddy, Big John Winters, Big J, back home. And the most hated heel in all professional wrestling, Benjamin Hall, one of my friends back home. He lives in New York, but he's an Ohio State fan.
That's strange.
He says some weird thing about, like, his dad was born in Ohio and he has family in Ohio. But, yeah. Sounds I didn't cool. convert till I moved here. Because nobody cares about college football in New York. It's all... professional football.
Yeah.
And the New York Jets are going to be good this year.
Are they? Better than the Lions?
I would love to see a Lions-Jets Super Bowl. Let's call it right now. Lions-Jets Super Bowl. the world, we may have entered the Twilight Zone if it actually happens.
That'd be pretty cool. That'd be cool.
I mean, if you listen to Coach Dubé's Triple Play, he's got a podcast, Dubé's Triple Play, right? And he'll talk about different sports. And he's not, and I think he's trying to protect himself emotionally. He's not too high on the Lions going very far. He's trying to, like, downplay it.
Yeah.
I think.
He doesn't want to be disappointed.
No.
Bigger letdown. But
you know as well as I do, he's the guy that on the Christmas sweater day, he wears his Lions.
Oh, yeah.
You know. We'll see. We might record a podcast with him later talking about the triple play. Worth checking out. So moving along. You know, you and I often have conversations, and we have already a little bit, about food.
Yes. Love food.
You got a favorite food? Like, if you're picking one thing.
Am I eating because I'm hungry, or am I eating because I want to eat something?
I mean, it's... All right, here we go. Last meal. Right? It's all over. You're done. You got one last meal, and then you're never going to be able to taste food ever again.
I want my mom's chicken marsala. I want Boucher's pierogies. I want Stanley's kielbasa. And the biggest piece of chocolate 7-layer cake you can find.
There you go. A bunch of Polish food and chocolate cake.
Absolutely.
There you go. It's something that is to be said about that. When that stuff is done right, like, I mean, I go in and out of all the different, you know, my mom's side's Italian, right? But we cook a bunch of different things and whatnot, but all those things you mentioned, right? Pierogies, kielbasa, chicken marsala. My mom would make that too.
That's not really Polish, but no, she does a good job.
No. I mean, it ends in a vowel. It's probably Italian.
Yeah. But she makes a good version.
Yeah. Epic. So the very broad food items there. Our next thing, because we've already gone back and forth about the food. Music.
It's got to be, well, okay, so if you just have a random playlist of my music going, you're going to think something happened. Like,
go ahead, give us the snapshot.
It's going to go anywhere from opera to classical to 2000s R&B. It's going to go to Tupac. It's going to go to country. It's classic rock. It's going to be all over the place. All over the place. It depends on the setting, depends on the people, depends on what I'm trying to do. Like this morning, I was trying to kick out some emails because I'm about 300 deep in my emails. Sorry if I haven't responded to your email.
I took an hour of her time today, folks.
Well, this is important stuff. So it depends on so this morning when I was trying to kick out a bunch of stuff, I had on my early 2000s R&B. So that just puts me in a good mood. All right, I'm kicking things out. I can hear it. Listen to it in the background. I don't have to think about lyrics because I already have all of them memorized. Like, and it's just going. So it really, really depends on what I'm trying to do.
Okay. Now we've gone back and forth about this. Is Boys to Men a boy band?
No. So they are absolutely not. Absolutely not.
But they were on the boy band Christmas special that I watched 2 years ago.
That's a Christmas special. There's also other things on TV that just aren't true.
Very true. I've seen a lot of that still.
They are great in concert, even still.
Weren't they here not too long ago, Jackson County Fair or something like that? Or weren't they close by?
Yeah, 2 years ago I saw them over in... where were we? We were only 2 hours away. It wasn't DTE. Where were we? I don't know. They were here 2 years ago with In Vogue. That was a great concert. That was a really great concert.
Free your mind.
That was a good concert. You know who also likes In Vogue? Mr. Ken Koenig.
He loves. Yeah. Yeah. I believe that. He's the man.
Yeah. So if my go-to 2000s R&B.
2000s R&B. Mm-hmm. All right. So if you had to pick one, Boys to Men we talked about in Vogue. If you had to pick one, because we got a Weight Room Song of the Week playlist that we put out.
Am I working out, or am I just listening to the song?
A song that fires you up, right? That might, we put it on our playlist and people listen to it, it might fire up someone else.
Dio, Rainbow in the Dark.
I think you requested that one time on Iron Dread Radio.
I sure did.
Ronnie James Dio, inventor of the rock and roll hand signal.
That's a good pump-up song, good weightlifting song. But lately I've been getting my sons to memorize the words of David Allan Coe, Call Me By My Name, which it's not really a workout song. That's what I mean. Like, so you got to be specific.
And it was all that I could do. Yeah, I know that one. I've sang that one in karaoke many, many times.
All right. That last verse, it's clutch.
It's got to be a country western song. You got to have all the things,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely.
Prison, you know, intoxication, all those different things in a country western song.
Pickup truck.
Pickup truck, trains, mamas, got it all. All right, so I know, Ms. Nowak, we got to kind of wrap this up here. Got to move on to your next thing. Again, I thank you very much for giving me an hour of your time to be on the show this week. Anything interesting going on that's coming up for you in the near future? You know, professionally, personally, you said you're getting married soon. Mm-hmm. I know a really good DJ, right? One of our sponsors, Crank It Up DJ Service. Anything else interesting or going on?
I'm just really excited for students to be back in the building. Student energy is different energy. It's good energy. I love seeing the students here. I can't wait until Tuesday. I can't wait for all our sporting events to really get up and kicking. I know that we've had a couple games, you know, before the school year starts, but I can't wait for everyone to be back in the building. It'll be a fun year. I'm excited for this year.
Yeah, I mean, coming into year three, right, starting to get your people in place, starting to get your things going, your initiatives going, the things that you're working towards. So, yeah, it's I'm excited for it too. Excited to get going, and like you said, when we get the kids back on campus, it kind of boosts everything up a little bit.
Absolutely, we remember why we're here, what our focus is. You know, sometimes I think that we get wrapped up in the minutia of schedules and management and those kind of things, when really we're here for kids. So they're the heart of everything. So when we see that they're doing well and they're enjoying what they're doing, great. Everything else is all right.
It's the rewarding part of our profession.
Yep, absolutely.
And that's what leaves us fulfilled from this profession, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so do you have any professional social media that if anybody listens, they want to follow you, see what you're doing, going around the district? You have any of that stuff?
Good question. I purposely do not have any social media because I encourage students not to have social media. So that's part of that modeling. Social media is...
Social media, when used incorrectly, is indeed something that can be a negative.
Yep.
We use it to help promote the show, help communicate out things. We use it for the positive aspects around the Iron Dread program. But I agree with you. It's not it's something that can overtake people's lives sometimes.
Yep.
Okay. So unless you have anything else that you would like to share with our listening audience, I thank you for your time. Appreciate you being here. You know, best of luck this school year. And I know I'll be stopping in.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Coach.
Yes, ma'am.
Hello, this is Rob Schwartz, teacher at Dexter High School, and you're listening to the Iron Dread Podcast.
And there you have it, folks. That's been our show. Thank you again to Miss Melanie Nowak for stopping in and chatting with us today. Great getting to learn more about her as the leader of our school community here. And hey, we have some fun. And that's one thing that I really enjoy about Melanie is that she likes to have fun, but at the same time, getting a lot of good things done here around the building. So before we leave, we're going to play a quick clip of her choice for the Iron Dread Weight Room Song of the Week playlist. And that's Ronnie James Dio Rainbow in the Dark. Ah, yes. If you want to listen to that song in its entirety, find our Iron Dread Weight Room Song of the Week playlist on Spotify. Look for it in the show notes, or just go on Spotify and search Iron Dread Weight Room Song of the Week. So, folks, that's all I got. Before we go, I want to give a shout-out to our sponsors, Jocko Fuel, Hostage Tape, all of our different sponsors that help make this show happen each and every episode. 76 episodes. We've come a long way. Right, we're steadily on that track, heading towards 100 episodes here soon. Hopefully planning something big to get that to happen. Until next time, I'm Chris Whitaker, signing off.